Well, how about all the rain moving in, huh? Yeah, we've got it going on. Got a youth group here this morning that I was youth pastor at for a couple of years, and so, I was a quitter, wasn't I? Yeah, he's back here going, quitter. Anyway, they're from North Olmsted Friends Church. You can probably see them sitting kind of right over here in this area, and so I was surprised this morning. They ventured out and came down here. I actually think what they really came down for is they're going to the Hard Rock Cafe to eat afterwards, and so I think that's the real draw. I don't think it's really me, but I'm going to, for this morning, think that it's me, all right? That'll make me feel better about myself, and so I'm grateful to have all of them, and some of them have grown much taller, although I still think I can take every one of them if I absolutely had to. So anyway, are we having trouble with this thing? Is it like going goofy on me? Okay, you'll fix it, right? We're going to be on page 388 if you have those little Bibles there in front of you. If not, if you have your own, we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's in the Old Testament, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 through 12. We've been looking over the last couple of weeks, why do we do certain things? A couple of weeks ago, we looked at baptism. Why do we do baptisms? We looked at communion, or the Lord's Supper, as some people call it. Last week, and we took communion, took the Lord's Supper for the first time together. Gateway Church has only been in existence since April the 1st, and so that was our first time to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? We don't have the traditional way of just kind of passing it down the aisle and stuff like that, and so we had to figure out ways to do that. So we've been looking at those things. And then one of the things that we did just this last Friday, I knew that there would probably be some parents out there and a whole lot more than what we could ever help out. Who needed help with buying uniforms for school. If you've noticed in the paper or on the news, Cleveland Public Schools now then will be wearing uniforms, or if you're in high school, they call it a dress code policy, which is a fancy term for you're wearing a uniform. And that's what they call it. I'm serious, they do. They call K through 8 is like uniforms, but high school is dress code. And I'm like, whatever. It's the same stuff. But anyway, I called over to Westside Ecumenical that we've partnered with, that we've done several of those carnivals for, and asked the lady there, hey, do you know of anybody? And she said, yeah, I think I do. She said, one of the ladies that works for me, that works in one of the Head Start programs, I think she's going to need some help. And so I went over Friday with these guys and their mom to Old Navy over here in Steelyard, and we bought them a ton of stuff. And so go ahead and go to the next picture. This is just different ones. That's them looking around, trying to figure out which ones they wanted to buy. Go ahead and go to the next one. And there's another one. And the last one is all of them together. And you can see all the stuff that we got them there. At the end, I looked at the two boys, and I said, okay, we bought uniforms, which you and I both know, just as soon as you get home, you're going to pull that off and get that out. So I want you to go, and, you know, we've got an extra $30 a piece for you guys to go and buy something that you really want. And their eyes just got huge, you know, they couldn't believe it. And so, anyway, the great thing about shopping with guys, we had all that stuff plus the stuff that they wanted in like 30 to 45 minutes. And I'm not kidding you. I started with them at 10 o'clock. That's when Old Navy opened, okay? At 10:45, we were already out the door. And I was like, man, if it had been girls, I'd had to block off the whole day, you know, because they'd had to call their friends. Can you come up here? How do I look in this? I'm like, it's a uniform. Everybody's going to look the same. But anyway, that's them. Jose and Daniel are the two guys' names there. And so we blessed them, and I was excited about doing that. So if you've ever given anything to Gateway, part of that money went for this. And I told the lady over at Westside, if she knows of anybody else that really needs help, then we want to be able to bless them and do what we can. So that was an exciting thing. I love to do that. And it was right after I took this picture that Old Navy got really mad at me. I didn't know you couldn't take pictures in there. They have a policy. We're the only ones in the store, okay? The only ones besides the workers. They know what I'm doing. I've already told the manager. Okay, it's not like, you know, we're secretly shopping from some other place to find out their prices. And she goes, oh, you can't take pictures in here. And I was like, really? I was like, why is that? Because I wanted to hear her say it. I knew what she was going to say. She said, because competitors. And I'm going, all your stuff is online, and you can find every price in there. But I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, okay. So I apologize, I don't have more pictures in this on the inside. I pretty much got told you better put that camera up. And so I did, and was nice and kind, but at least I got a few shot there. So anyway, we were excited about being able to do that, and I think that's a good thing, and we'll give these guys something to be able to wear. We even bought them some things for the fall and for the winter, because I knew that that would be approaching. They would need some things for that. So all in all, with the thing from the uniforms for from now until winter time, plus the extra stuff where they could go and buy, we spent about $270, and it was quite fun. It was good stuff, and they were totally thankful and just excited about it. So anyway, that is that. Let's move on to a couple other things. We've been talking about, why do we do some things within churches? Baptism, Lord's Supper, and this morning we're talking about something that I don't think that you're going to walk out of here going, man, that was great, I'm so lifted up, and this is the greatest encouragement I've ever had in my life. Because it's one of those subjects that we really go, oh man, that doesn't sound like that much fun. And I don't know that it's so much fun as much as it is meaningful. And so this morning we're talking about fasting. Now let me give you a couple things that fasting is not, okay? Fasting does not count as biblical fasting just because your doctor said, hey, after 6 p.m., don't eat anything because we got to test your cholesterol in the morning. I need you to do a fast, okay? Don't claim, oh, yeah, I did a fast before. No. You did that just to get your cholesterol checked, all right? Fasting is not the latest weight loss fad, okay? This is not like, oh, this would be a great godly way for me to get skinny, okay, girls? That's not a good thing at all. As a matter of fact, that never works, and it will just tear down your body, so don't do that. The other thing that I wanted to warn you about is this. If you ever decide to do a food fast, and we're going to talk about different types of fasting, but if you ever do a food fast, let me encourage you to consult your doctor before you do something like that, okay? Especially, if you happen to have diabetes or anything like that, this will really throw things in a conundrum, all right? So make sure that you check, because there are other ways to fast than just with food, okay? And I know some of you are grateful and thinking, well, I don't have any of those diseases, but I don't want to fast from food either. That doesn't give you the out, okay? That's a medical thing, not just because you don't want to. So we're going to look at this from that vantage point of, this is a good thing to do because it's going to help us focus in on God, okay? And that's really the ultimate goal of all of these things, from Lord's Supper, communion, baptism, and also now then, as we talk about fasting this morning, it's a great way to refocus and look at our relationship with God, okay? So that's a little bit about what we're doing this morning. Let's read Scripture together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 3. This is a cool name of a guy that I'm sure you will want to name, you know, one of your children after. This is King Jehoshaphat, okay? So Jehoshaphat was alarmed by the news and sought the Lord for guidance. He also gave orders that everyone throughout Judea should observe a fast. Now let me just pause right there. Here's the alarming news. About 3 or 4 kingdoms have come together and they've decided they're going to take over. And he finds out about it. And as the king, he knows we are no match. We are no match. And so the king does a really unique thing in Scripture. There's a lot of kings mentioned in the Bible. Most of them are bad kings. They're not good kings. So as we were looking for names to name our child, you know, Jehoshaphat did not make the list, even though he was a good king, because I can just hear at school, hey, fatty, you know, I mean, just, you know, it's just not going to work, okay? That's just not a good name. So Josiah, because he's one of the good kings, and it has a nice sound to him rather than Jehoshaphat. And can you imagine in first grade they're trying to spell their name? They'll never get it right. All the kids are making fun of them, you know, because they can't spell it. So you've got this king. He's a good guy. And he does something very rare for one of the kings in the Old Testament. And instead of saying, oh, I'm going to do it all myself, or I'm going to unite with all these other kingdoms and we're going to go against these other guys, he does something revolutionary in the fact that he orders a fast for all the nation. That's a pretty big deal. Can you imagine in today's time, not just even within the United States, but some other country where the king comes out and says, hey, we're going to be wiped out by another country if we don't do something, and I'm calling everyone to fasting and prayer. Man, it would make every headline across the world You know, the king's not running the United Nations for help. He's not doing all this other stuff. He's calling for a fast. Let's read on. Verse 4. So people from all over the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood before the people of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler over all kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, disease, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now we see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave to us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. What an incredible king, huh? You know, one that realizes, you know, it doesn't matter how many armies that we come up with this thing. If God's not going to help us out, we're fighting a lost cause. It wouldn't matter if all the other kingdoms on the known planet, the known world at that time came together. He knew without God, they're done. It didn't matter. And he also knew this. They didn't need everybody else if God was on their side. And he had full calm assurance that that was the right way to go, was to cry out to God and say, God, here we are in this place that you've created for us. And then we built this temple and we knew that if we cried out to you, that you would show us the way. Now show us the way. And he starts it all by saying, everyone needs to fast. Everybody needs to fast and to pray. So let me give you a simple definition of what fasting is. We talked about what it is not. Here's what it is. Denying our appetites to focus on God. Denying our appetites to focus on God. You notice we didn't say just food there, okay? But denying our appetites to focus on God. And of course, I always look at that and I go, you know, I always have the so what factor in my life. So what? What's the big deal? Why should we do that? And I want to list for you out about three things that I think that fasting does for us. Now, it does a lot more than just this, but I think there's three things that I think that fasting will do for you and certainly does for me. The first thing is this. It brings contentment. It brings with it contentment, because what we find out is this, that we've kind of trained our bodies that, you know, several times a day it's going to get food, you know, and sometimes, especially middle schoolers, you know, they just eat around the clock, you know. I mean, that's just the age of life, man. You can just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. It's amazing, you know. Some of you who are parents, you know this. I mean, it's like a bottomless pit, you know. They can just keep going. You're just like, I just went to the store, you know. How many of you said that? I just went to the store, and they're like, we're hungry. So you got to go back, you know, or you got to take them to Dairy Queen or wherever it might be. And, you know, here we have fasting, and what fasting does for us is reminds us we don't need every single meal. We don't need an entire bag of Doritos, you know, to eat in one sitting while we watch a movie. And what fasting does is it brings us back to understanding that there needs to be some contentment in our lives, that we don't have to have everything that we think that we have to have. And so as we approach food or things in our life, sometimes it's good to take a fast from it, because what it says is, you know, I don't really have to have that to survive. I don't have to have every meal. I don't have to have all of these other things. And I think that refocus and that contentment that comes with it shows us that, you know, our appetites don't need to dominate our lives. We don't need to be controlled by every single appetite that comes along. See, some people I know, man, the latest and greatest thing that comes out, they got to go buy it. They got to go get it. And you know what happens? Then 3 months, they're not even using it anymore. You parents know this. How many of your attics or garages have been filled with toys that were used for maybe a couple weeks and then just kind of discarded? But boy, at the time, they just had to have it. I just got to have it. I just have to have it. And I'm the same way. You know, I got to have the latest, greatest things. And then after a little while, it's like it's no big deal. We just kind of move on. It brings great contentment. When I was in Taiwan, I was there for a summer. And the one thing that I noticed wherever I went, and I will never forget this, on that little island nation there, I never forgot the smell of Taiwan, not because it was an atrociously bad smell, but just the smell that was there. And if you've ever been there, or if you've ever heard stories, or one of those Far East countries, you smell the smell of burning incense 24/7. And it's not like your French vanilla that your mom buys. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, like after the 4th of July, that smell, you know, just the smell of burning fireworks and that sort of stuff. It was always to me, and I always go back in my mind, and this is what always takes me back, whenever I smell a punk, you know what a punk is? You know, you light it so that you can light your other fireworks and that sort of thing, okay? Every time I smell one of those, I'm immediately transported back to Taiwan. That's what it smelled like wherever you went. And I can always smell that. And the reason why they did all that stuff was not because they were bringing a sacrifice to God or showing God that they loved them. They wanted to keep their gods, not just one, their gods happy. They want to keep them happy. They don't want anything bad happen to them. So you'd walk by their temples, and all this incense would be being burned, and people would be bowing before it, and they were really serious about what they're doing. I'm not making fun of them or pointing them out. I'm just telling you what the real deal was. And then they would go to these little, it looked like a card catalog drawer, just a bunch of drawers. And I noticed they would pull stuff out, and then they'd throw these sticks on the ground, and they'd go and pull out this card, and I was like, what is all that about, you know? Is that a book they're supposed to go find on the shelf, or what is this thing? And I asked the missionaries, what are they doing? They were like, oh, they're casting lots. And the lot, whichever way that it lands, is a number. And then you go over to the, basically a card catalog type of thing, and you pull out that card, and that's what you're supposed to do. And I don't know what it all had on it. I'm sure it had different things you're supposed to do. But the reason for doing that was not to show their love for God, but to say, please don't hurt me. Please don't do something bad to me. We've got to keep the gods happy. And as you look around the world, a lot of religions are kind of based upon that fact. We want to keep the gods happy. You know, when you approach God to fast, it's not to make him happy. It's not so you can say, did you see me? I went without a bag of Doritos today. So that God can say, oh, I got the warm fuzzies when you did that, you know? It was so cool and so neat. It sent shivers up my arm, and I showed the angels, you know. Look at what. No Doritos for him. No. You're not doing it to keep God happy or to make him bless you or anything like that. The reason why you fast, the reason why baptism is done, the reason why you take part in communion and all of these things, and this is what differs Christianity from all the other world religions, it's not to keep God happy. It's so that you can experience more of God's presence. And here's what I think people do. We kind of get like the other world religions in the fact that the reason why we go to church or the reason why we would fast is so that God won't be angry with us. And we're just kind of trying to keep God happy. Or we're trying to get a present from God. In other words, you seek his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, versus his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. In other words, are you looking for God to give you something, or are you looking to further your relationship with him? Because that's the point of fasting. The point of fasting is not to make him happy, so that he'll go, oh, I can bless you now. You're just the greatest. You know, you're Doritos free for a day. You're amazing. You know, that's not why. The reason is so that your relationship with him can grow. And through that relationship, you'll find contentment because you realize, you know, I don't always have to have all this stuff. And the reason for the fast is to abstain from something so that you can further your relationship with God. Second thing is this, is for clarity. The first one is to bring contentment, but the second one is for clarity. Just to kind of get refocused in. How many of you have been to the eye doctor or optometrist? You've been to there? Okay. All right. You'll probably recognize this next part. You know, you walk in and they, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing all right. Well, how you guys doing? Well, you know, I think okay. Well, pull over here and let's check you out. And so you get behind that big black thing, you know, that they pull in front of you. You know, they pull up there and you're like, whoa, what is this? You know, And then they start flipping all these dials. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, how does that look right there? And you're like, ooh, that's not too good. Oh, well, yeah, that's good. And you're like, whoa, that was good that it wasn't good? How is that good that it wasn't good? You know, and you got all these questions in your mind and you don't necessarily ask all the time. And then they start doing this thing, one or two. You know what I'm talking about? They flip it. Three or four, five or six. And you start, there's times that you're like, man, five looked pretty good, but so did six. I didn't really see a difference. And then they go five or six. You're like, oh man, the pressure's on now. They're really wanting me to give them a definite answer. I don't have a definite answer. I'm like, well, you know, both of them look pretty good. Five or six. And you're like, whoa, they're getting pushy. You know, I got to give an answer. And I'll never forget being with an optometrist, you know, and I found out later on that I just really did not like him. And he has this thing up to me. And he goes, five or six. And I go, I think five. And he goes, you sure? No. You know, not now. Six then, man. That must be the right answer, right? Give them what they want. And I started thinking, is he getting glasses for himself or glasses for me? I'm trying to, and so I said, you know, they both look pretty similar, to be totally honest with you. And he goes, you're sure five's not better? And I'm like, dude, let's do it again. And he goes, five or six? And I'm like, five. You know, I just go with his answer because I'm feeling intimidated now, you know, like I've got to choose five. And so then he goes, seven or eight? And I'm like, you know, seven looks pretty good. And he goes, positive? Duh, you caught me. No, I don't know, you know. And after I left, I was like, man, I feel humiliated, you know, like I didn't know the right answer for the easiest thing in the world, seven or eight. I had a 50% chance and I kept guessing wrong, you know. And then I kept thinking, oh my goodness, when the glasses are going to come in, they're really going to fit him, not me, because he was the one talking me out of it. And I remember after that point, I was like, I don't want to go back to this guy. But you know the reason why they take you through all that stuff and mess you up, and then they put drops in your eyes and like, can you see anything now? And you're like, no, you know, because they got stuff that messes up your eyes, you know, and you can't see anything. Your eyes hurt and you're blinking like this thinking that'll help get them back to normal, and it doesn't. And you go home and your eyes look like a cat. You know what I'm talking about? When they dilate your eyes, you know, you're like, whoa. And I just go, man, what is this all about? But you know, when you get that corrected, if you've ever had glasses or contacts, and the clarity is amazing. It's like, wow, this is what I've wanted. You know what fasting does? Fasting kind of takes us through that. God kind of takes us down the road and says, you know, you really need that in your life? Probably not. Okay. Well, what can we do to kind of work on that? Well, you know, I probably do need to do a little bit better here. Okay, hey, this is where you're doing really good. You know, you need to keep this up. I want to affirm you in that area. And God begins to work on you. You know what happens? It brings about a clarity. To me, whenever I fast, it causes me not to just run the same routine day that I would have done. It just breaks me out of the cycle. Even though the rest of the day may be routine, everything else is not. When you can't eat, it is amazing how much extra time you have on your hands. Absolutely amazing. You know, normally your lunch hour, if you're working, you take that lunch hour break and you come back. And you're like, man, it went by so quick. Try fasting. During that hour, you're just like, man, what is taking so long? Let's all get back to work, you know. You're ready to go back. And the reason is because all of a sudden your time is maximized. Third thing is for courage. Brings you contentment, it brings you clarity, and it brings you courage. Did you notice what happened in here? At the last few verses, verse 12, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We're powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. They knew, hey, if God comes through, we're good. If he doesn't, we're in trouble. But God, we're looking to you. You may be in a position right now where you're having to make some choices. Maybe that's boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe that's even get engaged, get married. And man, you're lacking a little bit of clarity. Maybe you're lacking a little bit of courage. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's thing of, you know, hey, I've been working in a corporation, I've been working with a group of people, but now then maybe God's calling me to start my own business. I would encourage you to maybe fast about that. Even encourage maybe some of your friends to fast with you. They don't have to do food, they can do other things. But let me encourage you, fasting is a good thing. To get involved with God so that he will speak to you, so that you will seek after him, so that your relationship is better, and he will begin to bring you contentment. He will begin to bring you some clarity, and ultimately he's going to give you courage. Because God is not the type of God that just sits back and goes, man, I'm not telling him anything. I just want him to mess up so I can hammer him. But sometimes we feel like that, don't we? It's like, God, where are you? Then we look back and we see how he guided us. He was with us every step of the way. Let me give you a few things that you can fast from. I'm not going to give them all to you because I want it to be your idea. I want it to be your thing. But for students and for young adults alike, maybe the internet, okay? I know it would kill you to be away from instant messaging for 2 hours out of a week. But maybe you refrain from that. Maybe you refrain from going online. And I hear people that will do like, you know, where they give up something for Lent. Maybe you've heard of people doing that. And what I caution them is this. God's not just asking you to give something up. I mean, that's a good thing, but that's really not the purpose. The purpose is not to go around. I had friends of mine that say, oh, I'm giving up chocolate, you know, for however many weeks. And I'm giving up that. I'm like, okay, but what's the point of that? Well, I'm giving up something for God. No. What's the point of it? Because it sounds like you're just trying to make him happy. Well, I don't know. Well, the purpose of giving something up is to replace it with something else. And so what you do is, if you're fasting from food or maybe fasting from the internet, maybe it's media, web, whatever it might be, the point is to use that time to better your relationship with God. Whether that's 10 minutes of prayer and reading your Bible or getting a book. We've got free books back here on the back table. You can certainly take one of those and use those. And that's the point. The point is not to just give up something. The point is you give up something so that you can focus on God. And that's what I would encourage you in. It's not so much about giving up food as much as it is about giving up, denying that appetite so that we can focus on God. Here's another one. What about television? I know it just, you know, kill you to go without one of your favorite TV shows. But you might need to deny that appetite and take that 30 minutes or that hour or whatever program that it is and focus on God, and you'd be surprised how God would speak to you during that time. It's amazing. Next one is maybe off the phone, texting, okay? Which I know that's the rage now. You know, everybody's, you know, even at the supper table, I know what, you know, teens and everybody's doing, just constantly texting. Maybe just kind of set that thing aside for a while and realize that whatever rumor they're sending to you in 20 minutes won't be valid. Okay, and you know this, you know that as time goes along, maybe as a young adult that, you know, instead of worrying about having to text everybody back, call everybody about everything, that you just kind of set that aside for 30 minutes and use it to pray and reflect. Maybe put on some music so that you can maybe concentrate a little bit better. I found out that works for me. Other people say, man, it totally distracts me. That's fine. You have to find out how God will meet with you, and I can't give that to you. I can't say, oh, if you do this, then this always works, because that's making God into a formula, and he's not found in a formula. He's found in a relationship. How would you like it if I went to you and said, oh, in order to have a relationship with you and for you to be my friend, here's what you must now do. You would go, that's not a friendship. That's weird. That's strange. I don't know what that is, but I don't want to be around you. We don't do that with our friendships. We know that it's a relationship. We talk and we listen. You know, we spend time with one another. So I really want to challenge you over this next week. Find something that you can fast from for an hour, for 2 hours. Maybe it's from food for a day, or maybe, and let me tell you something, you'll start getting those hunger pains. Yeah, or if it's your favorite TV show, you'll be like, oh man, I got to find out what's going on. I'll just call one of my friends and they'll tell me what's going on. No, that's not fasting from it. That's not it. Or, oh, okay, well, you know, I won't get on the phone, but I'll always see who it is that calls, because it might be really, really, really important. It's not going to be, okay? It's probably not going to be. I just want to encourage you, this is a great way to find out about God. Now, let me just kind of close with this. To me, the Christian life is full of tension. And I think in our lives, as human beings, we think it's either got to be tension-free because tension is bad, right? If it's a tense moment, if there's tension going on, it's a bad thing. And somewhere we've been sold that as Christians, that there doesn't need to be any tension. But yet, here's the funny thing. God and Jesus, same dude, okay? They both commanded that you feast and that you also fast. See, today's supposed to be the Warehouse District Festival, you know, and we're supposed to serve it at, we're supposed to be serving funnel cakes, and then here I am talking about fasting, right? It'd be easy to go, well, that was kind of weird. We shouldn't have done that. But I think that's a good thing because there's times when God said, this is supposed to be a feast. And there's times that God says, you know, you need to take some times to fast. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast, here's what you need to do. Now then, for those of you that were going to help us this afternoon, you'll be glad to know they have rescheduled the Warehouse District Festival, and I am so excited because this was not going to work today. This was going to be really, really bad. Have you ever seen 400-degree oil when rain hits it? It's like the 4th of July. It would have been very pretty, but not effective for funnel cakes. So they're going to reschedule it at the end of announcements. I'll tell you when that's going to be. But you know, it would be very easy for me today to go, oh, well, we probably don't need to talk about the funnel cakes. We probably don't need to talk about feasting. And you know something? This is the tension that we live in, and it's a good tension. There are times to rejoice, and there's times to weep. There's times to feast, and there's times to fast. And God's going to call you to both. And sometimes it's hard to know which one to do. You may have a friend that calls you up and says, hey, the greatest thing just happened to me, and you're going to be rejoicing with them. And right when you're on the phone with them, another person beeps in, and you switch over, and they go, you're not going to believe it. My grandfather just died. And the tension is, am I supposed to be happy or sad? Which one am I? You're both. You know why? Because the Bible tells us, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. See, we always see tension as being bad, but if you know anything about music, you will know that tension is the best thing that can ever happen. Because without tension, you cannot make good music. Because without tension on a string, with that string being pulled and there's tension on that, it doesn't make any noise, any sound. There's nothing. There's no power there. There's no vibrance. There's no life. If you want a good concert, you better hope that there's tension on the guitar, or there's tension on the piano, or there's tension on the violin, or whatever it might be. Because if there's not tension on the drum head, there's no sound, there's no rejoicing. Tension's good. Tension's good. Because between feasting and fasting, God's called us to both, and that's where the tension is. I can't tell you when you need to fast. I can't tell you when you need to feast. That's part of the tension. But I can challenge you to this, that if somebody calls you over and says, hey, man, come over for dessert, man. We're going to have a great time. Go. If the next day they call you up and say, you're not going to believe it. I've just lost my job, and we have no medical insurance, and I don't know what we're going to do. It's just totally from out of nowhere. Would you fast with me today? Then you need to do it. Or pick an item to fast from if you can't fast from food. That's the tension as believers that we're called to, and I think it's a good tension because it's like music. It makes it all fit together just perfectly. Because I can guarantee if you had come in this morning and if I'd have told all the musicians to totally take tension out of every single instrument that they've had, nothing would have happened. There would have been nothing. It would have sounded horrible. God's calling us to live within that tension. And I really want to challenge you to find something maybe to fast from. Maybe at your work, it's kind of hard because everybody will notice and you don't want to draw attention to yourself. That's cool. Find something else that maybe is not food that's just so blatant. Maybe do that on a weekend time. Maybe from a TV show and spend some time just reading and praying and reflecting. And here's what you're going to find out. Some of my most dramatic moments with God are during those times. Because it causes me to focus. It will bring me clarity, it brings me contentment, and it brings me courage, brings me strength. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes where they are. I don't know where you came from this morning. You may not have crossed that threshold yet of saying, yes, I'm a Christ follower, I want to follow after Christ, and maybe you want to do that this morning, and that you just simply in your heart of hearts say, you know, God, I really do believe that you're out there. I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. I don't understand all this stuff about, even about fasting and things in general. I know a little bit more this morning, but I really do want to follow after you. And so maybe this morning you want to just give your life to God and to Jesus and just simply to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow after you. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to do my very best. And maybe you just want to ask him to forgive you of your sins, invite him into your life, and then here's his promise. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always. Sometimes he's hard to find. There's no doubt about that. But if you listen, he'll begin to speak. And maybe you came this morning and maybe you've never tried a fast. Maybe you've kind of heard about it, wasn't quite sure what it was all about, and you thought, well, it's just kind of weird to go without food or kind of weird to go without something else. But now you found out really there's a purpose behind all of it. There's a reason why, and it's to experience a deeper relationship with God. And so maybe you want to make that commitment this morning. And just in your heart of hearts, you may want to say, God, lead me to the fast that you want me to fast. Lead me to that thing, whether it's food or internet or a TV show or whatever it might be. Maybe video games, I don't know. Whatever God leads to your heart. And this next week, make that commitment to follow after that. Find a private place. If you've got a whole home full of people, sometimes that's hard, but maybe you can steal away a couple minutes here or there and just read a little bit of the Bible or read a good Christian book or something that will just kind of help you focus in. Father, we thank you this morning that you didn't just always call us to fasting. You've called us to feasting and fasting. That as believers, we're in this tension, and it's a good tension, and it's the right kind of tension so that others will hear a different kind of sound coming from our lives than just noise. They'll hear the music, and maybe that they'll hear the music of who you are. And so, Father, as we listen right now, even to the guitar playing, without tension, it's all wrong. It's not right. So, Father, lead us into that tension where you teach us on days to fast, but also teach us on days to feast. So, Lord, we just give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want everyone just to remain seated where they are. Just kind of use this as a time of reflection this morning. You may want to bow your head, close your eyes. You may want to look at words on the screen. You may want to listen, whatever it might be. But let God speak to your heart. If you're one of our guests here this morning, I would encourage you to fill out one of those communication cards. If you've made a decision maybe for Christ this morning, you could just simply put on there Christ or I prayed or whatever it might be, or contact me and I'll contact you. But just in these next few moments, let's just let God speak to your heart as to what he would ask you to do.
Holy, holy God. you would. You're everything. You are everything that is bright and clean, and you're covering me with your majesty. When the truest sign of grace was this, from wounded hands redemption fell down, liberating man, and you are holy, holy, holy. All heaven cries, holy, holy. Depth of our fall and the weight of it all, and so this might couldn't be the most impossible thing. Your grandness in me, making me clean. Glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. I am filled.